Major League Baseball season kicked off this week, and over the next 7 months, some dreams will come true, some hopes will be dashed, and maybe, just maybe, a player might do something worthy of the Hall of Fame. All this happens in the big leagues, but what about Little League? Is there something a kid could do that could land them in Cooperstown?
You know, I have to tell you, when I went out, I had no idea that I was setting some sort of a record. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I just wanted to play the game.
That's a Hall of Fame player you've probably never heard of, a woman named Kay Johnston Masser, whose nickname as a kid was Tubby. And she was the first girl to ever play on a Little League team. She did that in 1950, and we'll hear from her. But we also sat down with some girls who play Little League today to talk about Tubby's story. Have you ever thought about who was the first girl to play in Little League?
Yes.
You have thought about that?
Yeah. I don't know who, though.
And to hear about what it's like playing baseball as a girl today.
I've never had another girl on my team. There are girls on other teams, but there aren't usually any girls. Three
strikes, you're out at the old... It's the StoryCorps podcast from NPR. I'm Michael Garofalo. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Mindy Thomas.
And together, we bring you Wow in the World,
NPR's podcast for families.
Every week, we explore wild and new scientific discoveries.
We also ride a bird. Find Wow in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The StoryCorps podcast is made possible by support from Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I'm StoryCorps founder Dave Isay, and I'll be back right after the show with a message from our sponsor. So stick around.
In this episode, to mark the start of baseball season, we've got the story of the first girl to ever play Little League. Kay Johnston Masser grew up at a time when it was unheard of for a girl to play hardball with boys. So in 1950, she disguised herself as a boy and tried out for a team in her hometown of Corning, New York. She made the team and made history. At a StoryCorps booth, she recalled that summer with her husband, Cy.
One day, my mother was braiding my hair. We were sitting at the kitchen table, and my brother walked out the door with his baseball bat. He was going to practice. I started crying, and I said to my mother, "I'm just as good as him. I wish I could play." So she said, "Why don't you just go and try out?" And I said, "Okay, well, cut off my braids." And she did. So I ran into my brother's room, got a pair of his slacks, put on my baseball cap, and signed up as Tubby Johnston.
When you found out you made the team, were you surprised that they called you?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I knew I was good, and I had fooled them so far. But I was scared, of course, that they might find out and tell me I couldn't play. So after several practices, I talked to the coach. His reaction was, "You're such a good player, and we're going to use you at first base." I played the entire season. It was an absolutely thrilling time.
The kids on your team you played with, how did they treat you?
When they found out I was a girl, the team treated me fine. It was the other players that would push me down or call me names. And the parents initially booed when I went out to play. They could see that I was a better player than some of their sons. After the season was over with, my dad went to a meeting with some Little League officials, and when he came home, I said, "How did the meeting go, Dad?" And he said, "Well, no girls, under any circumstances, will be playing Little League baseball." And it's known as the Tubby Rule, because I was the reason why they put that rule in. But I said to him, "You know, Dad, someday I'm going to play first base on the New York Yankees." And he just gave me a big hug. He said, "I know you will, Kit Kat."
What gave you the courage to do what you did?
You know, I have to tell you, when I went out pretending to be a boy, I had no idea that I was setting some sort of a record. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I just wanted to play the game. I played Little League just that 1 year, but I'll probably love baseball till the day I die.
That was Kay Johnston Masser speaking with her husband, Cy, in San Francisco. Tubby's Rule banned girls from Little League Baseball for almost 25 years. When we first heard this conversation, we thought, do kids playing today know about this? Would they even be curious about it? So we reached out to some local Little League organizations in Brooklyn, where StoryCorps headquarters is, and we asked them if they had any players who were girls who might be interested in hearing this story. That's how we met Jane, who's 11. She's an outfielder for the Brooklyn Bulldogs, and Riley, who's 13 and a catcher for the Giants. They came into our studio and we talked baseball, got the reaction to the story, and, well, we like these kids so much, we wanted you to meet them too. First, here's my conversation with Jane, who arrived for her interview wearing her uniform. How many years have you been playing?
6 years since I was, like, really, really little.
Yeah.
I just started throwing, like, a tennis ball with my brother, and then we went to, like, a little baby baseball camp, and then we figured out we really liked it.
How old is your brother?
My brother is a year older than me. He's 12.
Okay. And do you guys play on the same team?
He's on an older team, but we practice together.
Who's better?
Me.
You are?
Yeah.
We talked of baseball, baseball, DiMaggio and baseball, baseball.
Are there girls on your teams?
No, not on my team.
Really? You're the only girl? When you travel around and you play against other teams, do you ever play against other girls?
I haven't played against a single girl yet.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's a little weird because, of course, I kind of feel a little bit alone because I'm playing on this team with, like, a bunch of boys.
How do your teammates treat you? Do they treat you any differently, do you think?
No, not really. Like, they treat me as if I was, like, another guy because I field the same and hit the same.
Right. What about when you travel or when you play against other teams? Does anybody ever give you a hard time?
Yeah. It was, like, 2 years ago. I was hitting, and this guy, he said, oh, it's a girl, move in. So, like, the entire infield moved in. And then I hit one, like, way over his head. And he could have caught it if he had stayed back, but he hadn't.
So you beat the shift.
Yeah.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
We need a hit, so here I go.
I also sat down with 13-year-old Riley McCaffrey. She's older and in a different league, so she doesn't play against Jane. But like Jane, she's very serious about the game. Both kids work out and practice indoors all winter long.
This season will be my fifth season playing baseball, like Little League baseball.
What position do you play?
I am a catcher.
Do you like playing catcher?
Yeah, it's my favorite position. What's your favorite position?
Well, I played second base.
Yeah, second base is pretty fun, but catcher is just better. I feel like there are so little catchers now. Like, everybody just wants to be a pitcher. They feel like it's a star. And sometimes it is, but I feel like catcher is just a better position.
Well,
you can do so much more.
They say catchers are the smartest people on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who usually ends up being a manager? It's usually catchers.
Yeah.
Do you play with other girls on your teams?
I've never had another girl on my team. There are girls on other teams, but there aren't usually any girls.
Why do you think that is?
I feel like a lot of girls just play softball because baseball is like mostly it's just boys, and girls feel like, oh, I'd rather just go on a team with other girls, and so they just play softball. So, yeah.
So is it pretty cool with your teammates? They treat you well? They don't treat you differently because you're a girl?
No, they treat me the same.
And what about on other teams? Did anybody ever give you a hard time?
Not really, but sometimes they think I'm a boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Wait, what?
How do you know? Do they say he?
Sometimes when I'm on second base, like if I've already stolen a base, they're like, oh, yeah, they like say to the catcher, pitcher, oh, yeah, watch out that the boy, like he might steal again. So, yeah.
Do you correct them?
No. Too far away. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Play ball!
I played Tubby's story for Jane and Riley. And this is what they had to say about it. First, Jane.
That was pretty cool that she, like, dedicated a lot to play because she really wanted to play. She cut off her hair. That's pretty cool.
What do you think about what happened when she would play?
That was unfair. She was as good as the boys. Why were they booing?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Do you ever encounter something like what she said where people get mad because you're better than a boy?
No, not yet.
Not yet, but yeah. You will.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I also told Jane about Tubby's rule and how girls were banned from Little League baseball until the mid-1970s.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm kind of mad.
Yeah?
Because, like, it just seems really unfair. Because it's a game, like, it's like Monopoly. Everyone can play Monopoly.
And I have to say, as somebody who probably takes baseball a bit too seriously, that answer gave me pause. I mean, Jane's right. It is just a game. Next, I asked Riley what she thought of the story.
Wow, that was, like, very motivating. I feel like she was very brave to go out and do that because, like, she was the first one to actually do that, and yeah.
Can you put yourself in her place? Can you imagine what that was like?
Not really. I mean, that would be very scary, pretending to be a boy and then going and doing the tryout. And also, it would be very hard telling the coach that you were actually a girl because she had no idea how he would actually react to that. Like, he could have just thrown her off the team.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think you learned from the story?
Well, I learned that even if you're not allowed to do something, you should give it a try because then you may actually make a big difference.
Huh. Like, as a girl who plays Little League today, if you got to meet Tubby, what would you want to ask her or tell her?
I'd want to ask her, how did she feel when girls were finally able to play baseball? Like, how did she feel about that? And, like, did she feel like she was a big part in that?
Maybe we can call her up and ask her, and we'll tell you what she said.
Yeah, that sounds great.
This is Kay. Well, I felt wonderful that they had changed the rule. I know I had something to do with it because I was the reason why they put the rule in. But once that rule was changed, I thought this is great for women and girls. I had a passion for baseball. I still love baseball. So, you know, don't let somebody tell you you can't do something. You just go ahead and you keep practicing, you keep doing what it is you want to do until you accomplish your goal.
Jane and Riley wanted to know what happened with Kay after that fateful summer. So I told them how her picture now hangs in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, where she's recognized as breaking the gender barrier in Little League Baseball. I also told them that while she never got to play first base for the Yankees, she did get to throw out a first pitch at Yankee Stadium in 2006. Oh, and speaking of the Yankees, I hear you're a Yankees fan.
Yes.
Big time?
Big time.
So I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how you're going to react, but I'm a Red Sox fan. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a shame.
So it's probably a good thing I had years of taunting from Yankees fans before speaking with Jane and Riley. It sort of prepared me for the lip they gave me. Here's how Riley reacted to learning I was a Boston fan.
You like the Yankees? You're wearing a Yankees cap when you came in.
Yeah, they're my favorite team.
Yeah. Have you been to any games?
Yankees games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a ton of Yankees games. And also a lot of Mets games. I've been to Fenway Park. I've seen a lot of baseball games.
Yeah. It's, you mentioned Fenway Park. I want to tell you something. I don't know how you're going to react, but I'm a Red Sox fan.
Well, I hate the Red Sox.
I thought you would say that. But don't you have a Red Sox connection in your family?
Yeah, my mom's from Boston. And my grandma and my grandpa, they're Boston Red Sox fans.
Yeah, so do you ever talk to them about baseball?
Or sometimes.
Is it like for this to keep the peace, you just don't even
keep
talk
the
about
peace.
It? Yeah.
These kids are real baseball people. But even today, more than 60 years after Tubby took the field, there are barriers that they're gonna face as they get older, simply because they're girls. And while it's not impossible that Jane or Riley could be the first woman to play in the big leagues, it would be a long, hard road. They both know that, and it's heartening that it doesn't seem to faze them very much. Let's go back to my conversation with Jane one last time.
If you could play baseball for the rest of your life, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like when you got to high school and then in college and, and professionally even?
Yeah.
You would do it?
Definitely.
Well, I hope that you make it.
Thank you.
Hey, That's all for this episode. Kay Johnston Master's story was produced by Judd Esty Kendall and Carrie Hellman. This episode of the podcast was produced by David Herman and me. Find out what music we used on our website, storycorps.org, and don't forget to rate or review us wherever you download the show. And if you ever hear someone on this podcast and you want to leave a message for them, we've got a voicemail line where you can do just that. It's 301-744-TALK. That's 301-744-TALK. Until next time, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Dave Isay again. At StoryCorps, we take our relationship with the people we serve at our recording booths as a sacred bond. Same thing goes for our longtime partner and sponsor, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a national network of five cancer hospitals that now offer advanced genomic testing in their new Centers for Advanced Individual Medicine. And these tests may reveal treatment options for individual cancer patients that weren't considered before. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
When C.C. Wong met his mom's new tenant, he never suspected he'd end up getting replaced as a son, or that his replacement might have sinister motives. This week, Invisibilia looks at the things we don't say to our loved ones and the misunderstandings it can lead to. Listen on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.